Hi, and welcome to our podcast, which today is all about masculine and feminine energies and how they relate to food and body and beyond. Before we jump into the topic, let's just introduce ourselves. So my name is Claudia Kaiser. I'm a holistic nutrition and eating psychology coach, and I also run a shop for sustainable and nourishing real food in Brussels and online. And today I'm here with Lindsay Curtis.
Hi, thank you for the introduction. I'm Lindsay Curtis, and I am a transformational guide, teaching workshops and working with clients individually to embrace all aspects of our being.
Great. I think we bring together some very interesting expertise to talk about the topic of masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. Would you like to first introduce to us what exactly we mean when we say masculine and feminine energies? Because it's not just about male-female, right?
That's right. So male-female, we can look at that as being the definition of a sex on a chromosomic level. Genetically, we are born with certain parts, we'll say, that is independent of the energy that rests within all of us and all things, really, which we can look at as each having a masculine and a feminine. It can also be called a yin and a yang. And these energies, the masculine and feminine, are going to be a part of all of us independent of our gender expression, whether I decide I want to act in the world as a woman or a man or be gender fluid, switching between the both. I'm still going to have these masculine and feminine within me.
And do you have some examples?
Yes, of course. So what we can look at as being masculine, for example, would to be very focused. My focus and my awareness is going to be masculine. My openness and creativity is going to be my feminine. My precision will be masculine. My flowing possibility will be my feminine. Movement is going to be feminine versus being fixated would be masculine. Curvature is a feminine attribute versus straight is going to be a masculine. Analytical for the masculine and expressive for the feminine. So depending on my connection with each of these qualities, one is going to necessarily be more pronounced than the other. And overall, throughout my whole being, I want to be in balance, but that's not where we are today in our world. So that's also what we're going to be talking about and getting into this idea of masculine and feminine and how we're currently expressing.
And also naturally, different people have different tendencies towards one side or the other without it being good or bad, but just natural strength.
Definitely. Depending on our form, how we are incarnated, how our body is, certain people are going to have more curvatures and certain people will have straighter lines. So simply within our forms, if I don't have any hips, for example, my energy is going to move much more like a straight line. I'm going to be much more focused and I want to say erratic, but that's not the right word. I'm going to be a high velocity versus a curvature. I'm going to be able to hold energy and emotion maybe much longer. Maybe I'm not going to be as forcefully expressive, but I'm going to be holding it a bit until I find the perfect moment to then move forward.
And that's where the food comes in, because we can actually, with the foods that we eat, strengthen or weaken the masculine or the feminine. So in metabolic typing, we distinguish between different metabolic types. So on the one hand, the typical yin or yang, which we would call the parasympathetic or the sympathetic, the two sides of the autonomic nervous system. If you would be a yin type, a parasympathetic dominant, you would need foods to strengthen your yang side, your sympathetic side, which in this case would mean meats and animal fats, and limit your carbohydrate intake and keep it basically to vegetables and avoid grains and bread and all that. Whereas if you are a sympathetic dominant, a yang person, you would need foods to strengthen your weaker side, which is the yin, the parasympathetic, which would be more the carbohydrates. So I'm not talking about sugar, but talking fruits and vegetables, talking whole grains and things like that. However, just because I'm a lean person and the analytical and the masculine and all that doesn't necessarily mean that a vegetarian diet is better for me. Foods do not only affect the autonomic nervous system, so the sympathetic and the parasympathetic, but they work also on other levels. So in metabolic typing, we also look at the oxidation rate, so how fast do I burn my nutrients? And so there we distinguish between fast and slow. And while a fast oxidizer is very similar in his characteristics to a sympathetic dominant, to a yang person, he would actually need completely the opposite foods. So animal protein energetically has a grounding effect. And if in my case I'm too fast, everything's accelerated, then this is what I would need to connect me back to the earth. And from there, once we're grounded and slowed down, it's safe again to drop into the feminine.
What is coffee?
That's a very good question. I know that many people like coffee. Coffee, what it does, it activates your sympathetic, so your yang, your masculine. It also accelerates your oxidation rate, so it makes you faster. So depending on your individual metabolism and where you are naturally at, this can be either good for you or not so good for you. If you are already a very young person, drinking lots of coffee might not be that good for you because it would push you even more into the yang side, whereas what you would need in order to be in balance would be more yin. On the other hand, if I am naturally a yin person, coffee might help me to get more into balance. However, just because I have a slow metabolism doesn't mean that I need lots of coffee in order to accelerate it. I would first need to understand why my metabolism is slow. Is it slow because it's naturally slow? Well, then coffee might be a good choice for me. But is it slow because of a hormonal imbalance, of a thyroid issue? Well, then coffee might actually be the worst thing that I could do. So it really depends on who's drinking the coffee, which really shows how this whole one size fits all really doesn't make much sense.
Right, because we're all unique expressions of energy. We're all unique expressions of life force. So we need to explore that within a wider framework.
There's lots of stereotypes also which we hold when it comes to what's masculine. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that we're often reducing it to the money-making machines and the ones that are fighting the wars. But what else could be masculine?
Yeah. Mm. And that's an idea of where our culture and our own connection with our masculine is at this time. And what we've grown up with is we've had a restriction on women's ability to be in the workforce for a very long time.
Yeah.
So quite literally, if the woman wasn't making any money for quite a long time, but what was she doing? She was taking care of the family and taking care of the man who is making the money. So exactly. She was, in a way, because in all things in our life, it's an exchange. So though it might not be an outer exchange of financials, it's an inner exchange of emotional processing.
Yeah.
So I think our idea of masculine and feminine at this moment is very important, that we each look into ourselves, we each turn our eyes inward and see what is masculine for me and what is feminine for me. And within looking, then choosing if I want to keep this. Do I want to keep that my masculine needs to work 7 days a week in order to be fit? Do I want to keep that my feminine is only able to have children?
Exactly.
No, I can create.
Or to be pretty, or to just look beautiful and be skinny and young, and because that's what we reduce it to oftentimes. And I think it's about time that we enlarge the definition of what else is feminine. And you mentioned already many things, among it being soft, being curvy, being the nourishing part, the creativity. So it can mean so many things. It doesn't have to be just pretty skinny.
It's also really about strength. Yeah. Can we talk about childbirth? How strong do you need to be to go through that process?
Yeah.
But there's this idea of, okay, childbirth, that is going to be for a female necessarily at this moment in time. But the strength of the feminine energy comes in unconditional love. you know how strong it is to remain with an open heart and a loving embrace no matter what is happening? That's our feminine. That is something that we all have the ability to do, but a lot of us haven't evolved our feminine energy. A lot of us haven't worked on our hearts because it's covered in pain. So that's a lot of the work I do with people, is to help them really express the pain that is there, express through the negative emotions that may be present.
And it's not something that's our fault. We're just born into this world, into this culture, which collectively right now, the feminine has been suppressed
yes.
for a very long time. And the masculine has always been put on a podest in a way, and even women trying to be more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And
because it's a man's world.
Exactly. And suppressing all what you just mentioned, the feeling part, the mm-hmm. emotions. We have to function. We cannot, you know, just drop into emotions and be moody and... Yeah.
And a fully expressed being is going to be able to drop into emotion and use their full consciousness to redirect that emotional energy. Because all emotion is energy. Emotion. It's energy in
emotion.
Motion.
Mm.
And so as we evolve our emotional states, as we clean out the negative that is inhibiting us, we're able to, as an emotion comes up, properly direct it into a life-serving avenue.
But here you're talking about an interesting point, which is the distinction between the unevolved and the evolved masculine, and the evolved and the unevolved feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a difference. The masculine, which when it's unevolved, is more the aggression, the pushing, the forcing, the combat, the suppressing, the controlling. Whereas if it is in touch with its feeling part and the loving part, so it's feminine, it can grow more into the compassionate king, in the warrior that's fighting the good cause, in someone who has a purpose. So it's still this one-pointed, straight, focused direction, but it's used for the good, and it's actually respecting the feminine. I mean, look at the fairy tales. The masculine is always rescuing it and willing to die for it, mm-hmm. which is not what we see actually going on in this world right now.
In a masculine and feminine, in a masculine quality, for example, there's a big difference between control and discipline. We can evolve this idea of control, and which is really coming from a deep fear. I am in fear, so
yeah.
I need to control. I can evolve this into being disciplined, where I have an objective and a purpose, and I can do things in a harmonious way to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that you can really say about eating behaviors?
If we talk about masculine versus feminine, of course, what we're seeing right now, our approach to eating is very masculine. So it's all about nutrition. It's about data. It's about facts. It's about
mm-hmm.
eat this and not that, and what's good and what's bad.
Mm-hmm.
We reduce food to calories and nutrients and macronutrients and vitamins and biochemicals and phytonutrients and, you know, everything that you can measure.
Gives me a headache.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one part of eating. And good nutrition is definitely important. And so I, of course, suggest adjustments to their diet and to help them to get all the nutrients that they need in order to produce the very biochemistry in the brain that will then help them to make shifts easier also in the mind. But it's just part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part is what we call nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
And nourishment is, for example, the atmosphere, the people you're eating with, the way you set your table, the visuals of the food, the smells of the food, the pleasure that all of that gives you. And you can be nourished by food, but you can also be nourished by places, by people, by experiences, by nature, by music, by art. And the more you're actually nourished in general, the less you need to rely on food to get nourishment.
Yes.
And we often see that if people, all they do is work and sleep and eat, well, the only source of pleasure, of nourishment in a way in their life is food.
Mm-hmm.
So it's often then becoming an issue for people that they overeat or that they need comfort foods to satisfy this need. And the thing is that if then because we are so starving for something deeper, mm-hmm. we then just kind of stuff ourselves and we do it quickly. Well, then we don't even get the real nourishment from food, because nourishment, you need to be in your body, you need to be present, you need to be connected and be mindful.
Right, so what I hear is that in order to be fully nourished, we need to have both the masculine and the feminine strongly in center so that we can use our awareness
exactly.
to then bring in some of that nourishment to the feminine.
Yeah.
Which is why actually we see that the more we are nourished on all levels, the less we need to eat and the more full we feel.
So there's a distinction between the evolved and the unevolved, and it's via the feminine that the masculine can evolve and vice versa. So the feminine, which if we suppress it all day long, it can then just burst out in quite violent energies. When we talk about food, like binge eating, for example, if you've tried to suppress all day long your appetite, well, you might succeed for some time, but eventually it will take its toll on you. So I work with them also in the personal realms. So I suggest awareness work around beliefs, around feelings, around thoughts, so that we can bring in this evolved masculine, the awareness and the consciousness, and you become more grounded. Then you do not have to burst into these violent energies, because you're already allowing yourself to simply observe them, to let them be there and to attend to them, to express them. And you allow yourself to have pleasure and appetite and all that. So you do not have to compensate. You do not have to fall in the extremes. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to just see how actually we only get into trouble if we try to suppress one side.
Like all things, we need both sides.
Yeah.
We need them all in order to be able to step into something new, into a place of wholeness. We need the masculine principle of being able to look at all the parts, just as we need the feminine principle of being able to look at the whole. And we can see that in our world right now, what's happening with our dear Mother Earth, who is a feminine energy, and how we have not taken care of her for so long. And we can see mass devastation all over the place, and these ideas of shortages and things that are going on because we haven't respected her. So like the binge eating, if I control and control and control, then I'm going to have a huge upset. But actually what we can do is look at the whole, look at our whole planet, not just the little parts of it. We can focus on the whole thing and coming together within our own lives.
I mean, the macro is always reproduced in the micro level. What's the saying, as above, so below? So what's going on the outside is exactly what's going on the inside. So
as within, so without.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what's happening to the earth and the natural catastrophes and all that violent energy, which is then breaking out, it's really calling our attention to the fact that we've been mistreating and not respecting and over-controlling, just like we've done to our bodies.
Exactly.
So this whole epidemic of eating issues and also weight issues, health issues, health crisis, all of that is really just a wake-up call, and it's all connected to bigger issues.
In the end, it really comes to, for me and the work I do with people, it comes to what is being repressed and what is not being expressed, what is not being given awareness, what are we not looking at? Because when I look at the whole, when I'm able to really go into the whole, the truth arises and I feel more complete.
And that will then be reflected in your relationship to food. So when I work with a client, I look at them as a whole. So not just their food or body issues isolated, but also at the personal realm, what's going on at work, in the private life, in their relationships, or in anything in the past, maybe that could still not have been digested and kind of cause you stress.
Yes, this idea of not digested emotion is so critical, because I study and practice morphology, and so our bodies and how our form, why we create our forms, because we do create our forms, we create our bodies.
Yeah.
Everything upon my body I've created, and we must take responsibility because I am my body. When I was studying some of this last year with my teacher, as I go into my stomach, because we're going into a part of ourselves that we don't like, and at that moment I go into my stomach and I'm like, why is my stomach the way that it is? And it's all of my undigested emotions. And so if we look at these body image and these extra weight perhaps that we may be carrying or whatever it is, and we are able to turn our eyes into the body and see what's there, we have a lot of information.
And we can actually read in the body. Mm-hmm. In the body and in our behaviors. Because if I am afraid of food, afraid of fat, afraid of appetite, all of those are energetically feminine mm-hmm. in nature. So I'm afraid of the feminine. Now, whether I'm man or a woman, both men and women, they have issues with their feminine and their masculine. Mm-hmm. And it really depends on your individual case what exactly the issue will be and how it expresses. So, for example, there are women or men, when they are afraid of food and fat, they will over-control. They will start counting calories. They will start portion controlling, exercising as crazy, all of that, like really masculine strategies, mm-hmm. suppressing the feminine. And for some, that might result in losing weight, getting very toned, like getting a masculine body. Mm-hmm. Whereas for others, the same behavior could result in the complete inability to lose weight because stress can have this effect. Mm-hmm. And extreme dieting, extreme exercising, it's stress for the body. So they are then confronted day in and day out with a very soft and round body, which is basically showing them their feminine. Mm-hmm. Confronting them with it every day and kind of asking them to accept it rather than to reject it. And on one hand, it's fear, but it's also protection, sometimes of the masculine, sometimes of the feminine. So if I'm afraid of violence, especially of the sexual violence, I can also put on weight to mm-hmm. protect myself, or I can lose it so I'm kind of looking more like a guy and becoming less attractive to the opposite sex, if I'm now talking from the point of view of a woman. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of interesting psychological phenomenons that can be behind why we are gaining weight or not gaining weight, and why we're maybe not able to lose it, even though we feel like we really want it. But there might be a subconscious level where actually it's very protective and actually serving a purpose. Because the body is always working for us, right? It's never mm-hmm. working against us. So yeah, it's extremely interesting to look at food and body, not just as simply food and body, but really from a bigger perspective, as for example, the masculine and the feminine energy, how they
interrelate and how they're moving yeah. every day, because every day my masculine and feminine are going to be interacting in a different way.
Yeah.
Because in every day and every moment, I am essentially a different person.
Exactly.
And depending on whatever situation I'm in, different energies are going to be coming up.
Yeah. What you just mentioned, I have to think of these personality tests where they ask you many questions and then in the end you see if you're more on the introvert or the extrovert mm-hmm. or the thinking or the feeling, which okay. is trying to putting you in the masculine, feminine if you want. And I've never really liked this concept because it can be so different on different days. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, I have my tendencies, but I've taken these tests many times and I've always ended up differently. So it's interesting that we don't also mm-hmm. limit our perception of ourselves. If you think you're the analytical person and it's always going to be like that, you might not be seeing your own creativity, for example, and as such not expressing it.
Yes, and I would say it really depends on how we grow up and what happens when we're young.
Yeah.
How our creativity or our analytic nature is embraced by our families and our schools and our general culture around. Because these tendencies, typically we react to these tendencies because as children we're incredibly resilient and we'll do whatever we need to continue to survive and thrive. And so if I am a 10-year-old and I love writing poetry, and a teacher or a parent tells me that creative writing is stupid, I might stop.
Yeah, or the left and the right hand writing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in a way they change our expression in this world, whereas we still have it in us.
It is still just suppressed. And the journey becomes, as adults, it's our responsibility to go back and reclaim these parts of ourselves, because it still exists, it's still within our sphere, it just hasn't been given attention. So through the work that I'm doing with people, our whole journey becomes to reclaim these lost parts of ourselves so that we can then be our fullest expression.
All right, so that's been a very interesting discussion. If you want to learn more about Lindsay, about myself, there's more information on us just below this video, and you can follow the links to our respective websites, check out what we're doing.
And we look forward to speaking with you soon. Feel free to leave any comments and questions that you may have about the masculine, the feminine, or anything that we've spoken about today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.